I'm Joe Crilly and I'm joined with Ollie Blackwell here, and we are here at Royal Horse Guards Hotel for the 31st awarding of the William Hill Sportsbook of the Year. Later on, we will be having some interviews with all six shortlisted authors, as well as the announcement of the winner and an interview with the winner. But first of all, Ollie, who have we got on the shortlist?
So as you can see behind us, we've got a shrine of all the six shortlisted books, so each covering a different sport. So I'll just quickly talk you through. If you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know this anyway. But so we've got Lara Pierre Palmer's Rough Magic, so riding the world's wildest horse race in the Mongol Derby. We've got Andy Woodward's memoir, Position of Trust. Andy was the first whistleblower on the sex abuse, child sex abuse scandal in football. We have got Adarinand Finn and his Rise of the Ultra Runners. Into the Edge of Human Endurance is the subtitle, where he himself goes on a number of ultra marathons to get to the heart of the sport. We've got two-time winners. So we've got Duncan Hamilton and Don McRae vying for a third crown. So we've got Duncan Hamilton's return to cricket as his sport of choice. So The Great Romantic is his work that's featured about the golden age of Neville Cardus, who was a cricket commentator in the 1930s, who kind of brought to life the sport off the news desks and the papers. And Donald McRae is for In Sunshine and Shadow, his book about boxing and the troubles in Northern Ireland. He meets mainly with Jerry Story in the book, The Trainer, and his work about bringing fighters from both sides of the Northern Ireland conflict together to train at his gym in a kind of show of unity. And then finally, completing the shortlist, we have Donald Trump. Well, not actually Donald Trump, but a book about Donald Trump and his cheating in the game of golf, Commander in Cheat. Rick Riley's joined us all the way from the US and is here to talk about the many misdoings and cheating and fiascos that surround Trump and golf. So a massively varied six there, I think you'll agree. And I can't wait to find out who the winner is.
Andy, thank you for joining us, and congratulations on making the shortlist for the William Hill Sportsbook of the Year.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, and I feel really proud, to be honest with you, that, you know, this billboard's behind me, and, you know, being at the awards, it's an honour.
So how important was it for you to get your story out, and how happy are you that it has received all the acclaim that it has?
It was a proud moment, just, you know, when people did come out and speak out, that I've helped, you know, people all over the world. But, you know, the essence was to write something down initially, and I didn't expect to be writing a book, but to actually write that book and to help other people, because that's the essence of it, just to help others to see that you can come through, you know, some really dark moments, and, you know, the mental health and all the abuse and whatnot. So yeah, it's a strange feeling, but a real proud feeling.
Obviously the subject matter is absolutely horrific, it's incredibly dark. How difficult was it revisiting some of the things that you went through for the book?
Yeah, it was 4 months hard work, and they're long days, you know, and it really did take a lot out of me emotionally. You know, there's times where I went through roller coasters where I felt like, you know, my mental health was really struggling. But it was, you know, I had a passion to do this for other people, you know, at loss to myself, really, in terms of my mental health. But I was so determined to just do this and get through it. And it was a really difficult thing to do. But, you know, I did it, I got through, and I'm still here. I'm still alive. So.
And how easy was it to work with Tom? How was he as a ghostwriter for you? And how was the process of getting the words actually down on paper?
Yeah, I mean, they introduced me to Tom because they felt, obviously, you know, with his sport background. And I've got to say, you know, through my life, I've really struggled with trust and trusting people. But I had an instant connection with him, and I trusted him from day one. And, you know, that went right the way through. And he was just amazing with the way he was with me, because it was so sensitive to do it. And the whole process was, he made it much easier than probably it would have been otherwise. And, you know, we've got a great connection, and we're really, really close friends now. So
Good stuff. Well, Andy, thank you very much for talking to us. Thanks for being here and congratulations. And it's an incredibly important book that you've written, and good luck.
Oh, thank you so much, and I just hope it does help many people around the world eventually. So thank you.
You're listening to the William Hill Sports Book of the Year podcast.
Laura, delighted you can join us at the awards ceremony today. Congratulations on making the shortlist.
Thank you, thank you.
So you won the Mongol Derby in 2013. What's it been like to revisit that period in your life repeatedly, I guess, over the last few months for the book?
Well, I guess I was also revisiting it when I was writing it, so I haven't been able to let go of it. I'm a bit frustrated, actually. Maybe now I will be able to, but I realised that in writing a book about it, I've made it into this like little myth that people will now know about and ask me about, and I'll never be able to get away from it. But I do like, when I really engage with it and truly connect with it, the race is just like this memory of energy, immense unleashing of energy, and I'm grateful to be able to access it. But often when I'm in like an interview situation, I'm not actually accessing it, I'm sort of talking cognitively, and it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, I guess there's lots of sort of dramatic elements of the race that you describe in the book, but what in particular stands out for you now looking back on it?
Oh, the blue sky, enormous. Sorry, that's so boring. Probably people would love to hear about me falling off, which did happen.
Why not?
A lot.
Yeah.
Horses putting their front foreleg into a marmot hole and somersaulting, and then you trying to hold on to them because they've got your saddle and all your belongings on.
Those are all quite dramatic.
Yeah, I think dramatic is my rivalry with Devon Horn, and that's really brought out in the book. I enjoyed being able to hate during the race because I was probably in so much bodily pain that I really needed to hook on to something.
And you're still not pals? You told me that on the podcast.
In my imagination, we are pals. I feel gentle and soft about it. You know, the more you write about someone, the more you can access like a much deeper layer of hate to say it, probably love. And I feel slightly strange that I haven't talked to her about it, but she probably hasn't read the book, or maybe she's not interested in engaging. I didn't think about her.
So you also mentioned to me on the podcast that we don't necessarily believe in the life-changing moment of the race. Would that be the same for the award? But I guess you're pleased to be here on some level.
I'm so pleased to be here. I've got to start looking at the camera, but like the camera is like this. The person that awarded me the award or something, but it's not, it's you actually who read the book and other people. To be on the shortlist, well, I guess I'd just partly forgotten that Rough Magic was about sport, so I was like, wow, this is great. Yeah, of course it's about sport. Something about the feminine and sport that aren't yet totally together in society, and like the sport as a cultural institution remains quite masculine, not totally. I mean, this year's been quite different, I think, the Women's World Cup. It's not a life-changing moment more than any moment in life is life-changing if I am present in it. That's what I think. But I think it's changed my life slightly in that I feel more confident as a writer, and I feel a lot of gratitude.
Duncan, you are here again. The day has finally arrived. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I just said to someone this morning, it's rather like cup final day, and no matter what the result is, you've got to go in there and enjoy it. So I shall be hitting the free champagne shortly.
Wonderful. I think we all will. It's clear that this book was a labour of love. You told us on the podcast that it took you 7 years to write. Were there times at all that it felt like you were never going to get the complete story that you wanted?
I think there's always a stage with every book that you actually start, and you get probably a quarter of the way through and you think there's suddenly a long way to go. Was I actually right to sort of do this? But I think because I'd been there before, I could get over that hump. I suppose it's like the wall that kind of marathon runners hit, and they just have to keep going.
Yeah, and finally, how did it take so long? You were obviously doing other books at the time, but was it the sheer volume of work that Neville Cardus wrote? Was it travelling, obviously going to Australia and things like that, looking through records? What was it that dragged the process out for those 7 years?
Well, it was really the amount of stuff that you had to read, simply because Cardus wrote so many words for about 50 or 60 years, and you never knew. I mean, it's the kind of old adage that you've got to go and turn every page, because on the next page you might find something a little more fascinating than you did on the previous one.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us at the award ceremony today, all the way over from the States. How does it feel to be here?
Jet lagged. I don't know if it's day, night, I don't care. I'm glad to be here. I thank William Hill for this. We don't have anything like this in America. I never heard of anything like this. And so it's my thrill to come here.
Brilliant. Well, and the book's reaction in the UK has been really good, really extraordinary. But what's it been like over the pond, the reaction to the book?
We've had 4 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, or as Trump would say, 4 years.
That's pretty good. And in terms of Trump himself, you've mentioned that you were planning, in our podcast that we did, that you were planning a game with him in the near future. But is that still planned? Is that still going ahead?
I bet him $100,000 that if he played at his 2.8 handicap, which is bull, and my 5.1, which is real, that I would win. But we have to have a camera with each guy and rules officials, and he can't use one of his cheating caddies full of fake golf balls. And he has not responded to that. It was for charity, but then they found out his charity was a fraud, so I don't know where his money would go. But he hasn't tweeted about it. He'll tweet about anything. And so I think he just doesn't want me to sell books.
Could that form the sequel to another book then, your round with Donald Trump?
Forget that. I've had so many people since the book came out tell me stories. I've had to roll up my car windows. I mean, people just, wait till you hear this story. Each story is worse than the last. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a chapter for the paperback. So now I've written a chapter for the paperback full of more stories. I mean, this guy is such a bad cheater that it makes it so easy, because he doesn't even try to hide his cheating. So everybody's got a story. And so I could have written an encyclopedia on this, how he cheats, not just at playing golf, lying to people. He's been sued twice by members of his club since he became president and lost. And so much goes on in America with him. You can't even keep up with all the scandals. But that's a golf scandal that no one seems to want to talk about.
Darren Ant, thank you for being here. Congratulations on being shortlisted. The day's finally arrived. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty calm. I'm just happy to be shortlisted. So we'll see what happens.
It's not your first time, so you do you know what to expect?
No, I was thinking, though, last time when the winner went up and collected the award and they started giving a speech, I suddenly realised, God, I hadn't even crossed my mind that I might have to say something. So at least I have thought about that this time, and I've thought who I might thank, at least.
Good stuff. Now, this book, you obviously immersed yourself in a very extreme community. You've done that for your other two books about running, with the Japanese relay runners and the Kenyans. Was this the hardest and most extreme of the three that you got yourself involved in?
I mean, in some ways it was with the runs, but I never had the same pressure running in Kenya and trying to keep up with Kenyan runners, where the slowest guy is about a 2:12 marathon runner. was tougher, definitely. And also in terms of living with the family abroad. So in some ways this was easier, but you know, in those crucial moments when I'm like 80 miles into a race and I'm falling to pieces, there were definitely some tough moments. You know, it's hard to balance them out, but I like to do things full measure.
And finally, I know it was only a few weeks ago, but when you were on the podcast, you said you're itching to do another ultra run. Have you progressed that? Has that itch got stronger? Have you entered a race, or have you pushed that further out of your mind?
You know what? I have entered an ultra race in China as well, of all places. So in the mountains near the border with Burma, it's called the UTMB Galigong, and I haven't quite decided what distance I'm doing, but it's definitely going to be an ultra run. So yeah, so the itch got bigger, itchier, and I'm back.
Well, I noticed those letters UTMB there. Is that the end goal, or is this purely a one-off?
Oh yeah, no, I'm not going there again. I'm not doing 100 miles again. That's what I've sworn to myself. So anything between a marathon and 100 miles is okay, but UTMB is too much.
Donald, congratulations on making the shortlist again. This is actually the fifth time you've featured on the shortlist. So does it still feel special to be here at the awards?
It is special to be here again. The first time I was shortlisted was in 1996, which was in Sports Pages, a tiny little bookshop. And you know, the award in these 31 years has just grown hugely. And yeah, even though it's the fifth time, it means a lot because I think the standard has got higher. And yeah, genuinely, without being corny here, I feel honored that I'm back on the shortlist.
And bringing the characters and the stories to life in your book, In Sunshine and Shadow, how pleasing is it be to get that stories and all those to a wider audience?
I think for me, that's been sort of the most satisfying aspect of the book, that the five people who are the key figures in the book, firstly, their voices have been heard, because besides Barry McGuigan, the other four people, I think they were fairly unknown and they did stupendous things. So I'm delighted that I've been able to give a platform for their voices. And it's meant a lot to me that they're happy with the way the book's turned out, because if they weren't, obviously I would have been devastated. So yeah, that's been enormously satisfying.
And what was it like to revisit that time for you and for the figures in the book? It's a raw and comparably recent conflict these days. So what was that like?
For me as an author, being selfish, it was fascinating because it was compelling. People were suffered enormously. For the people in the book, it was actually obviously so much more painful to go back. And it took time, but you know, I developed trust with them. And I think they could see that my intentions were to help them talk about what had happened and their achievements. And as it went along, it got easier. And I think eventually they even began to understand that what they had done was actually exceptional.
One of the most important things about the book that wins this award is that it's so well written that someone who doesn't even like sport very much would enjoy it enormously. And that's what's happened this year. The winner of the 2019 William Hill Sports Book of the Year is The Great Romantic by Duncan Hamilton.
Duncan, congratulations. Three times now you've won the William Hill Sports Book of the Year. How does it feel?
Well, I'm absolutely astonished, because that was one of the best shortlists I've seen. Not only in the years that I've taken part, but in other years too. And I've followed William Hill ever since it began. So it's an absolute honour and a privilege, especially against that kind of competition.
And it must be a vindication of those 7 years you spent chasing Cardiff down and committing it all to paper.
Well, it's remarkable to think that I started so long ago. And there were people who did say to me, "Why are you writing this book? He's such a marginal figure now." And I just kind of believed that there was a great story there, not only because of the way that he wrote, but also because of the man that he was. And I think the two are obviously linked. And the kind of title of the book, The Great Romantic, reflects the kind of person that he was. I think he was a positive person. And I just hope, most of all, that what happens is that people go and read Cardus themselves now. Go and find in a kind of dusty second-hand bookshop something that he probably wrote in the kind of 20s or the 30s.
The William Hill Sports Book of the Year podcast is a Muddy Knees Media production.